Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Morning to Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Morning with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Well, I just want to first say thank you to everyone who supported the show the last couple years, past 700,000 downloads of the podcast. So thank you so much for your support. I hope you have enjoyed the shows and share them with friends and family. Well, now I'm getting ready to speak with Dr. Imasuddin from UK. He is the father of Britain's brainiest family. Several of his kids have been noted as geniuses. They've already written books, graduated from college, and had master's degrees, all under the age of 18. He's a multi-award-winning researcher and scientific pioneer. He's a member of the Information Age Executive Roundtable, which is made up of the top 15 IT experts, decision-makers, CIOs, and executives in the UK. He's also a guest lecturer at the University of Oxford and a visiting professor to many American universities, including Harvard, Cornell, Columbia, SUNY, Georgetown, and more. He's been seen on BBC, CNN, ITV, Fox TV, Time Magazine, Wall Street Journal, so on and so forth. And you can check him out on Twitter, Chris, IMAFIDON. That's his hook on Twitter. Also check out his webpage, excellenceineducation.org.uk. I believe he might be on the line now. Let me see here if this is him. Good morning, this is Joy Keys.
Good morning, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for calling in this morning.
Top of the day.
Top of the morning to you.
it's great work you're doing in educating the community.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, you've been doing some great things, not only with your children, but people who aren't even your children, helping them succeed. I want to first start with you. And when you were younger, what did you learn about education from your parents?
I probably learned more from my grandparents than from my parents, because
okay.
My grandparents had all the patience to take me through any concept I found difficult. And I knew from them that I can learn anything provided it's repeated or explained to me over a period of time. So I learned from them that anybody, irrespective of your ability, can learn any new concept. So all you really needed to is get someone to be patient with you and explain things to you. So if they do, you understand it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that simple?
Yes. So now, when you went to school, did you enjoy school? Was it difficult or was it easy for you?
As a boy, I didn't understand the concept of learning. I just went there because I had friends, and it was an opportunity to make friends and then play. Until about the third grade, when my grandmother called me aside and said, "Boy, can you see the top guy on telly?" I said, "Yes." "Would you like to be like him?" I said, "Oh, great." And she told me that there are specific schools that produce top lawyers, top doctors, top politicians, and top civil servants. And if I was aspiring to go to any of those top schools and colleges, I had to do something.
And so,
that caught my attention because they were my role models. They were people I looked up to. And she said, I'll take you around to all the schools that they graduated from, and then from there you find out what is required to get into those schools. My parents, of course, were very busy working, trying to make a living. So you can see that my education was much more. The fundamentals of my education, the real foundation, was laid by my grandparents that told me, literally explained to me, that these top places are very competitive. So you have to work harder than every other person in order to get a seat, because every single person in the city would like to go to the top school. It was natural.
So now when you decided to become a professor, did you already have an idea in your head of how you were going to raise your children and teach them about education?
Yeah, it was natural because I have now in the school system, they expect some children to top the class, they expect some students to be average, and they expect some students to fail. That's what the system accepts. My grandmother never believed there was any person on the planet that should fail. Remember her concept? Is that every single concept can be explained to somebody, provided you have enough patience to go back over it again if the person didn't get it the first time. So don't be afraid if you don't get anything right the first time. You're just in great company. It means you have to go over it again. And she demonstrated to me, she really did this by demonstration. She made popcorns. You know popcorns?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you get 10 seeds and put them in the machine and start heating them, the first corn, the first seed will pop, and then the second seed, and then four seeds at the same time, then five seeds at the same time. You see, the school system only picks the people that pop the first time, or the second time, or the third time. They don't have the patience to wait, because if you wait long enough, every seed will pop.
That's a great analogy. That's a wonderful analogy. Let's talk about learning styles, because in many of your interviews, you talk about how people learn differently. Some people are visual, some people are tactile, some people are auditory. Talk to the audience about this concept of different learning styles. I think we lost the call with Dr. Imakadin. He will call back. But one of the things that he does talk about in many interviews is learning styles. Some kids are physical. And a great interview I saw with him was discussing the idea of using gardening as a learning technique, because people are, some need to touch and feel things. There are other people who need auditory sound. Me personally, I know I'm a visual person. I'm a visual person. If you show me, if you physically show me how to do it, I can usually copy what you're doing. And also, I think I'm maybe auditory to some degree, but definitely visual. And why don't you guys call in? The call in number is 646-929-0368. If you can't call in for some reason, you know, somebody who's listening on a computer, they can log in to Blog Talk Radio, and they can join us in the chat room here and ask questions through the chat room. So that's a wonderful opportunity. Also, I want to mention that Dr. Imakadin, excuse me, is going to be giving away some of his e-books. So if you call in, the first couple callers will get a free e-book. Check out his website, Excellence in Education. I want to mention to you just about some of his children doing great things. His daughter wrote a book, Samantha wrote a book, and it's called Math Manual, to help her friends and other girls succeed. You can check out the children's website at imakadin.com. Again, I-M-A-F-I-D-O-N-S. His twins took their math GCSEs at age six. At age six, they took, and his oldest daughter, Anne Marie, that's his oldest daughter, she passed her GCSEs in both ICT, which is Information Computing Communication Technology, and Mathematics at age 10. And then Christina, his other daughter, passed at age nine. So all his kids are just amazing and doing wonderful things. So hopefully he will be calling back in shortly. He's calling from overseas in the UK. Again, if you have any questions about education or if you have any comments about things that you learned while you were in school that helped you, please call in 646-929-0368. One of the things that is always up for debate is, you know, nature versus nurture. So is it the parents and the social environment that help children rise to the top, or is it internal genetics? And Dr. Amapadin believes that, that the nurture is important, definitely, but, you know, that outside, like you said, repetition and patience can help children learn. My feeling is that in the school systems, whether it's here or in the UK, there's just not enough resources in, say, public education to give time to those popcorn kernels that didn't pop first. You know, Dr. Moffitt just gave the analogy of popcorn and how when you put it in the microwave or in the pot, there's always the first corn that pops. There's a couple that fits right away. But then the rest of them take a little longer. And the problem is that the school system doesn't have the patience to wait for the other kernels to pop. So, you know, it just happens that way. I'm going to take a little break here and try to reach out to Dr. Amapadin.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbe. I was diagnosed with breast cancer 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-new, oncogene, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How can you decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say those words and find out what they mean. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at foreignlearnings.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. I got Dr. Amapadin back on the line. And we were just speaking. I was just talking to you about learning styles. Could you talk to the audience about the different types of learning styles and how that impacts child's development?
Okay, because one thing we must all know is that you have 5 fingers, and none of them are the same. They belong to the same hand, but none of them are the same. So even as I have my children, we are blessed with a set of twins. The way each one of them learn is different from the other. I'm saying two people, born by the same parent, came to the world at exactly the same time. The, their behavior and their preferences are different when it comes to learning. Mm-hmm. So we must not think that all 30 boys and girls in the class will learn the same way or the same pace. That's fundamentally flawed. And I would have thought that by now we would have recognized that and updated that system.
Yeah.
But that system became defunct in 1440. The pioneers of education, if they knew we were going to go this far, they would never have thought about the concept of having a class.
Mm-hmm.
Based on age alone.
Oh, are you still there? Oh, I think you can hear another call.
So why should we have a class based on age? Why can't we have a class based on the learning preferences of the students?
Yeah, that's better, right?
Because my twins, the way one, the senior twin learns is different from the way the younger twin learns. If I taught the older twin exactly the way I taught the younger twin, we would not have the same, we would have chaos. They would not even get a sticky.
Yeah. Well, I was telling the audience that I'm a visual person. Like, if you show me, then I can do it, you know? Sometimes if I'm reading a concept, it might be a little awkward for me. But if you show me, I can do it. And also, I think I'm auditory a little. But and then some other people, like my brother, he's reading. Like, if he reads stuff, which I guess is still visual in a sense, but... And then I have friends who are physical. They're the tactile people. You know, they're dancers,
yes,
and things of that nature. They're sports people, athletes. So everybody is different, but then they all can excel. They're all different, but they can all excel, you know?
That's right. I gave a class, it's now a program, about 2 years ago in the worst performing area in London. It's called The Secret of Exam Success Video. And I broke it down that you should not know your learning style when you finish college or when you finish school. It must be identified in your first year of school.
Mm.
Because
wow.
Then you know why you learn the way you learn. Some of us want to read Shakespeare. Others will watch a cartoon of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing bearing on it, and we will understand the storyline. We'll understand everything about Shakespeare's story. So why do we insist that all 30 boys and girls must get a black and white book, sit down, and read Shakespeare? That's gone past itself by date. And I broke down how you identify a visual learner at the age of 3.5. Those tendencies are already expressing themselves at 3.5.
Yeah.
If you knew that at 3.5, you can repurpose the content, and it would be assimilated by the child as if it's fun.
Well, let me ask you the question. I was talking while we were trying to reconnect about nature versus nurture. How much is genetics and how much is nurture? Because you have kids and you said they're all different, but they're all like geniuses. So, like, is that like something in your family? Or did you use specific techniques to help them excel at early ages?
Now, I want to say very categorically that there is nothing in learning that is nature. Nothing. That's an old myth that has been perpetrated by a group of people that want to say that they are somehow superior because of their height or because of their weight or because of their zip code or because of who they are. There is not one human being that is not a genius. Every single child I've ever seen has a specific talent that may not be uncovered by the techniques you're using. Would you want to say Michael Jordan? Is Michael Jordan a genius? When did Michael Jordan become a genius? Because he couldn't make his high school team.
Are you serious?
Couldn't make his high school team. Michael Jordan, if he had listened to his teacher at high school, would never have been the great athlete he became. He was not just a good athlete, he became the greatest athlete of all time.
Mm.
So if you think your child is somehow inferior, then you've completely ruined all his aspirations and you are deluding yourself, because once that child is picked up by me and I'm able to work through the child, you will find out that he sees things differently. So once you see things differently, it's called perception.
Right.
Perception is stronger than reality. If you were told by your big uncle or your auntie that math is difficult, for instance, you believe that math is difficult. You perceive that math is difficult, and then you live a lie, thinking that math is difficult, until you get someone that is patient enough to break down the concepts to you, like they did in the math manual. The children put together how they were able to pass high school diploma maths at the age of 6 and 7. They put it together. It's a very, very simple, very basic approach, complex concepts.
You know, that's one of the hardest things, math. Dr. Martin, let me just say that, you know, a lot of people are afraid of math. You're either afraid of math or you engage in math. And I remember talking to my daughter about this issue because in America, and I'm not sure in the UK, somewhere they say that girls are not as good at math as boys. But the funny thing is, she was passing her classes with A's and B's. And she kept saying to me, I'm not good at math. I said, well, how can you say you're not good at math and you're passing with A's and B's? That's illogical. So it was a perception that she had eaten, had taken into her system, that she wasn't good, even though she was passing her classes. That's how powerful perception is. I just wanted to emphasize that comment you made earlier, that perception is so powerful and can take over against logic, you know?
That's the point. We have a session we run in London where they bring in the bottom of the set. That means people that do not get one sum right. They bring them to us, and then we get rid of that phobia with numbers.
Okay.
So that phobia, that perception, they are telling you what somebody has told them. If your daughter is still no good at math, find out who told her that first. Somebody planted that seed of doubt in her. You need to dig deep to it and uproot it and kick it out. Because how can you say the one of the best known billionaires in the world is Richard Branson? He has a virgin empire. He was taught in school that he can never, ever be good at math.
Wow.
Now he runs a mega empire of billions of dollars. How can someone that cannot count in school now count billions of dollars? Something is absolutely wrong with the system.
Yeah. A lot of entrepreneurs are like that. A lot of entrepreneurs have different types of learning styles, and they were told while they were in school. For example, I had dyslexia individuals on, and they were talking about how they were, you know, told when they were younger because they're learning, you know, problems that they weren't going to be successful. But now each of these individuals, you know, the whole film, made about them successful entrepreneurs. They were thinking outside the box. You know?
Absolutely. So who was right, the school or the entrepreneur? I'm ready to take the worst performing school in Philadelphia, in California, anywhere, the worst performing school, work with the school superintendent and the teachers, and come back after just one academic year and see what will happen to the grades of the least able. I don't want the average or top class. The least able class, work with them in 9 months, and let them write their SAT exams and see who gets the highest marks.
Well,
it's a challenge.
We need it, definitely. Why don't you tell me about the book you're going to give away? I know some people in the chat room, I see them, and a lot of times people contact me afterwards. Tell us about this ebook that you have available. And also, I mentioned about your website, excellenceineducation.org.uk.
Yes, the book, the ebook I was talking about is 12 Steps Any Human Being Can Take to Be Able to Overcome Any Exam, Any Test, Any Assessment. The first cardinal point is that, you know, some people say they are very weak with memory, that they have bad memory. There's a program we do, one of the steps is you can turn your memory around. There's a program that says double your memory.
Okay.
You can double your memory. Even if you think that you have the worst memory, you can easily double the memory because memories are either short-term or long-term. So if you are presented a body of facts or images or items in the way that you can remember very quickly, it could be association, you will find that you will never forget that thing.
Wow.
You can make things memorable. So my children are not geniuses. I keep saying this. If you say they are geniuses, how come other boys and girls that have come on the Excellence in Education program of the UK have exceeded or equaled their performances? We have a lady that you should write down, and the listener should write this down. Her name is Omotola Akerele. She's going to... It is O-M-O... T-O-L-A. Her photograph is on the website because she met Michelle Obama when she visited the UK. She went to one of the worst performing areas, neighborhood in the country.
Yes.
And she was told a lot of things about her self-image, about her achievements. None of her parents have ever been to university. She went through the program. Guess what? She finished at Oxford, which is like your equivalent of Yale or Harvard.
Yeah, the top. Mm-hmm.
She went to the top school from the worst. She went to the top college from the worst performing school.
Amazing.
Just to tell you that there's nothing genetic about ability or intellectual firepower. Nothing genetic about it. All you need to do is to be shown the way.
Yes. You know, it's a problem, especially for African Americans and Africans. If we think about it around the globe, that they are taught that they are less than. Latinos, Black, Brown people all across the world are always taught they are less than. They are ignored in classrooms. Sometimes they are steered in a certain direction that is not in their best interest by educators who supposedly care about them. So this idea of genetics, nature versus nurture, has been used in such a negative way. So it's so important. I wanted to have you on when I saw about the things that you're writing about and your children, that point that people can be taught, but the issue of patience, and I think the problem is resources in these public schools, and that here in America, it's very focused on tests, black and white, read this, take the test, read that, take the test, and it goes back to that learning style. Everybody cannot sit in a room and take a test 30 minutes quick, without the proper, training, and they don't do that. And, that's a big problem here in America.
It's a very sad thing, because when I read it, I get very depressed that on the league table for maths and science, America is almost midway through the league table, when really you should be topping by your natural position. You should be first or second in maths or science, because you have the best colleges on the planet, you know. So why should you not have the best?
Because people can't get to them because their elementary school, high school education is horrible, and that they don't in Philadelphia there's 50% dropout rate in high school, 50% dropout rate in high school.
That's an unacceptable tragedy. It's happened for too long. That tragedy has to end now. You cannot have 50% of your boys and girls. Which 50% of my children, for instance, do I want to fail?
Yeah.
We should have 100% graduation rate. If we can put a man on the moon and we can send a couple to Mars, you mean we can't look after one that came out of our womb? That's unbelievable.
Because it's not a priority. I mean, the Obama administration is doing a lot more. But really, logically, based on facts, I will say that our government is not really concerned with education of smaller children. Because if you say it's public education, then why are not all public schools the same and getting the same resources? So it's illogical. But we're running a little bit out of time, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of your research that you're doing. I read about some of your research about cloud storage, exploitation of vulnerabilities in cloud storage. Could you talk to the audience a little bit about that?
I didn't quite get the last question.
I wanted to ask you about some of your research. You're also a highly renowned researcher, and one of the things that I read about was cloud storage security. You wrote a paper about the exploiting the vulnerabilities in cloud storage, because that's a big thing now. Everybody's storing everything in the cloud. So how safe is it, and how do we know that our things are protected? And your paper was discussing that issue and trying to figure out the best way against attacks and things of that nature. Talk to the audience a little bit about that.
Yes, you see, the question you're asking now has the answers I gave earlier, because it's still at the root of it is maths. If you are able to encrypt your data,
mm-hmm.
that means you're going to make it unavailable to people, and you can lock the door.
Yes.
So if you lock the door, nobody can come in. So if you can encrypt the data, even if they come into the house, they cannot get your valuable items.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using the principles of mathematics, remember? The principles of mathematics to encrypt your data. You're using the principles of mathematics to authenticate. That means before you come into your account, I ask for your username and I ask for your password.
Right.
Now, if
right.
your password is very easy to guess, or very easy to calculate, then you are vulnerable. But if it's very hard, then people will have to think twice before they have access to your data. So the two of them are very linked. You need to have a foundation in mathematics to be able to go into computer science, to be able to go into cloud computing, because cloud computing means you can store your information somewhere else and access it whenever you need it instead of keeping it with you all the time. That's the fundamentals of cloud. With computer technology is that we have better knowledge and we have better technology. If we have that, we have to exploit it. The only way we can exploit it is to be able to have no inhibition about what data we can acquire.
Mm-hmm.
So because you have a lot of data, you need to store it somewhere. If you want to store it yourself, it's very expensive. If we share the storage, it's very cheap. But if we share the storage, it means that you can have access to my items as well as me have access to your items.
Yeah.
So that's why it is very important that boys and girls, no matter what anybody has told you, you need to know that you are a mathematician. You were born a mathematician. Do you know one thing? Every single child born, as soon as they come out of the birth canal, has two legs, two hands, and one brain. Each brain has 1 million cells. That's the neurons. One neuron is capable of adding, multiplying, dividing than any other calculator on the planet. So just one cell of the millions of cells that you have is able to do multiple calculations. And recently, they tested one human cell against a network of computers, that many computers tied together, and one cell was still able to compute better than it. So the human being is born a genius.
That is absolutely astounding, Dr. Lockerman, that you would say that. Everyone born is a mathematician. And one of the things I also learned, and this is why I think it's important for parents to know about development, physical development. When the child is younger, my understanding is all these neural synapses are there. If you don't tap into those different types of synapses at an early age, then they kind of fade away. And that, you know, if we don't teach the kids language when they're younger, which is when they learn better, then when they get into high school and they try to learn language, it's so difficult. But it is a fact that kids learn language better when they're in elementary school. But I don't know why our system has not switched over. It's absolutely illogical.
The facts are there for anybody that wants to exploit. That's the reason why I failed my children by allowing them to finish high school and then go to college when they were teenagers. Most 12 years old can graduate top of the class in Harvard at the age of 12. They have the capacity, but they've not been developed or simulated because we did not recognize the capacity. My generation failed this generation because we have not recognized how powerful the human brain is. That's why we wasted it, and we're holding on to a relic system that is so antiquated, it's not good for tomorrow, let alone yesterday.
Wow.
So if we know what the human mind is capable of doing, we will never use the word failure to describe an event or a human being. If a child is unable to do a sum, you put a question mark. You don't put a cross in red. If you put a cross in red, you are discouraging that child from trying next time.
We never put a cross next to our children's psalms if they got it wrong. We always put a question mark saying, what were you thinking? What was the logic behind your thinking? And then they try to explain to you what they were doing. So, okay, you almost got it right. This is the step you took, and you took this step, and, oh, you missed it here. Come on, let's try again. So you're giving encouragement, you're building reaffirmation, you're saying you can do it. So they have a can-do-it mentality.
That is important. Well, Dr. Mahfuddin, we have run out of time. I want to mention to everyone that you can check him out on Twitter or follow him, Dr. Chris Mahfuddin on Twitter. Also check him out on Facebook. Check out his webpage, excellenceineducation.org.uk. Also check out his children. They're doing wonderful things there, and they have a lot of resources there for children, themahfuddins.com. And also I want to just say that thank you so much for doing what you're doing, helping enlighten people about this capability that we have as human beings and how important it is to tap into it at a young age. But I think also not to give up hope for people who are older, because it's just giving the right opportunity, the right circumstances really can ignite genius even at an older age. I think that is also true. I'm not sure your opinion about that, Dr. Mahfuddin.
Well, I'm disappointed we're out of time, but maybe some other time we'll come back and continue this discussion, because we cannot afford any failure. No failure. This is not the time for failure. We go past that.
No, not at all. Well, we'll definitely have to have you back on. And again, thank you so much. Please, everybody, check him out, the Excellence in Education website. Check him out on Facebook and follow him on Twitter, Chris Mahfuddin. Thank you again, sir, for coming on today. And you have a wonderful Easter weekend.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure. Please send my regards to everyone. And tell every child you see there's a genius waiting to be explored and discovered in them.
Definitely. Thank you so much, sir. Have a nice day.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in. I know some people are listening and the streaming stopped, but if you have people you want to share this with, it'll be archived in about 15 minutes, and they can listen to the entire interview. I think the conversation was so powerful, I had to keep going past the streaming. So I want to encourage you again to follow Chris Mahfuddin on Twitter, check out his children's website, mahfuddin.com, and also his organization, excellenceineducation.org.uk. You can follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. You can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. And remember, everybody is born a mathematician, and there is a genius within all of us. Keep that in mind and when you deal with children. Next Saturday, we'll be talking about child abuse prevention. Also, later in the month in April, we'll be doing an autism Twitter chat. So, again, follow at Joy Keys, become a fan on Facebook. I'll be doing some giveaways this weekend, so you better follow. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at foreignlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.